From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, a legislative preview from lobbyists looking to make an impact on the coming legislative session. And we'll check in on Sioux Falls leadership looking to the community for help following some missed 2025 goals. It's Friday, January 9th. Here are today's stories. Bills are being filed, and soon the state capitol will come to life for the 2026 legislative session. Beyond the legislators, lobbyists are also preparing their priorities. SDPB's CJ Keene checks in.
One lobbying organization, the ACLU of South Dakota, has several key priorities heading to Pierre. Samantha Chapman is the group's advocacy manager. She says her organization's troubled by a proposal that would allow challenges to a voter based on citizenship.
The concern there is that who is to say, just based on appearance, whether or not somebody is a U.S. citizen? If now we have a law in South Dakota allowing for anybody to challenge voters that they think might not be U.S. citizens, it's going to open the door for racial profiling at the polls. It's going to discourage people who are U.S. citizens from voting if they think that they're going to be harassed.
In the entire history of statehood, South Dakota has only allowed U.S. citizens to vote under penalty of law. Another concern is connected to proposals seen in Texas and South Carolina that seek to criminalize websites seeking information tied to abortion care. Chapman says the concept, while already nearly impossible to enforce, chills free speech.
In other states, what we have seen is grave concern to the First Amendment protections for speech. And so we want to make sure that even though abortion is banned in South Dakota, people are still free to speak about it because at the end of the day, it's free speech.
Reproductive rights were already in the spotlight last month when an ad campaign linked South Dakotans to abortion and gender-affirming care options available online. Chapman says any one voice could have an immediate impact on the people of the state.
The Capitol in Pierre is the people's house, and anybody is welcome to come to the Capitol and advocate for their positions on pending legislation at any time. We hear a lot about people calling Thune's office and calling Rowland's office and calling Johnson's office, but at the end of the day, they are responsible for nearly 1 million constituents, whereas our state legislators are responsible for anywhere between 3,000 and 13,000 voters.
Legislative session begins January 13th in Pierre. SDPB will provide coverage of every committee hearing and the House and Senate floors for the entire session through journalism and live streams found on SDPB.org/network. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
Sioux Falls leaders are renewing their call for mentors to elementary school students. This comes after missing a mentorship goal for last year. In September, a city-backed initiative set a goal of 75 new mentors across Cleveland, Annie Sullivan, and Terry Redland elementary schools. The effort has only seen 36 new mentor volunteers. John Toom is the Sioux Falls police chief and one of the people encouraging mentorship in the city. He says they're happy for some progress, but it's not enough.
I'm super excited about the people who have raised their hand and said yes. However, being in my position, looking at numbers and looking at facts, the fact that we couldn't get half of our specified goal is something that I don't really want to let go. We want to celebrate mentorship, celebrate the people who mentor, but also look at this fact and say we can do better and we need to do better as a community in this area.
So Toom says they're renewing the call.
That person is you. It's not somebody else who needs to step up in the life of a young person in our community. The impact is, time is minimal, but the impact is huge. So
Toom says every citizen can play a role. Mayor Paul Tenhaken has also been adamant about encouraging mentorship in Sioux Falls. He says making a change for the better encompasses all stakeholders.
So if we want to make an impact in our community on the safety and the well-being of it down in the future, it starts upstream and it starts in investments in our youth. So the mayor and the police chief and our police department, when there's crime and there's challenges in the community, we hear, well, what are you doing about it, Paul? What are you doing about it, chief, to deal with some of these juvenile crime issues? Well, what are you doing about it, community? That's our call back to the community. What are you doing about it today? And what you can do about it today is answer the call to mentor young people in this community.
The three schools are still looking for mentors to fill the openings on the student wait list. Accordingly, tours at all three elementary schools are scheduled to learn more about mentoring and the schools. Metal investments, think gold, silver, and copper, are up as the value of fiat or hard currencies are falling. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss says international actions are driving those prices up.
Well, you might be pulling out some of your gold fillings to be selling because the prices are now broken above $4,400 and silver above 80, at least. There's going to be some fallout there, and we'll have to wait and see. But the prices are up today, and They've been up this week with turmoil across the globe. More the in Venezuela, as we talk, but that's creating uncertainty, and uncertainty likes gold.
Goss, a prominent Midwest economy watcher, says fallout from policy, most recently Venezuela, hits the economy in South Dakota and the rest of the region downstream.
The drama does have impacts on the local market. That's volatility and uncertainty. Markets don't like uncertainty.
This comes as State House lawmakers are considering Senate Bill 7, which would modify the tax rate on gold in South Dakota. The current severance tax is $4 per ounce of gold. If passed, SB 7 would change that to 1% of that gold's market value. Authorities say they're investigating a scam that bilked the Tripp County government out of more than $800,000. It stems from a scam targeting the county auditor's office back in October. According to the Tripp County State's attorney, the scammers used a spoof email address designed to mimic a legitimate vendor. That email redirected payments to a fraudulent account. The auditor's office ended up transferring $826,000 to that account. The State Department of Criminal Investigations is working with federal authorities to investigate. It's still unclear whether it's possible to recover the funds. Flags are being flown at half-staff today at the state capitol and pier to honor a former lawmaker who passed away. Harvey Krachin served in the South Dakota House of Representatives from 1985 to 1996. He was Speaker of the House the last 2 years of his term. He represented District 31 in the Northern Black Hills. Krachin died January 1st. He was 76. A man charged in connection to a Sioux Falls crash that left two people dead is pleading guilty to vehicular homicide. A judge sentenced 23-year-old Dominic Anning to 12 years in prison following that plea. Court documents say in July of 2024, Anning struck two people who were trying to tow a car on Northcliff Avenue. Both victims died at the scene. The route for the 2026 Ride Across South Dakota, or RASDAC, is set. This year, the 380-mile bike ride begins and ends in Platte. Stops include Chamberlain, Pier, Lower Brule, Burke, and Wagner. It begins May 31st and ends June 5th. Organizers say RASDAC is an annual bicycle ride to enjoy what South Dakota has to offer. The route varies each year. Registration is now open. Find more information on the RASDAC website. A welcome home celebration is planned for a South Dakota National Guard unit this weekend. The Rapid City Base 109th Engineer Battalion was deployed at the U.S.-Mexico border for 13 months. Officials say they provided support to efforts to deter illegal border crossings. A homecoming ceremony is set to take place Sunday at the Range Road Armory in Rapid City. It begins at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Governor Larry Rodin, Senator Mike Rounds, and Representative Dusty Johnson are among the dignitaries set to speak. Two debates in two very different communities were united by a common concern. One took place in the state's largest city, the other in a small rural town. The topic intertwining them? Data centers. This comes at a time when lawmakers are about to decide on state tax incentives to draw the tech giants to South Dakota. At a town hall in Doolittle County Tuesday night, over 100 people showed up to find out answers and express their concerns with a proposed data center in Toronto, South Dakota. About an hour south, people spilled out of the Sioux Falls City Council chambers as councilors looked at rezoning land for another potential data center. Although the two are in completely different settings, one thing is clear. The data center boom is here, and South Dakotans are taking note. Liz Tiger is a community organizer with Dakota Rural Action. DRA teamed up with residents for rural and agricultural land to hold the town hall. Tiger says in Doolittle County, many of the concerns are the same as in Sioux Falls.
You know, water is always going to be a concern. Traffic in and out is a concern.
Tiger also mentioned energy and infrastructure. The proposed data center in Doolittle County is expected to bring around 200 new jobs. And she says the area is worried about its lack of infrastructure to absorb that.
There are concerns about overwhelming emergency services, as well as towns not being prepared for this influx of people. You know, and even if this influx ends up being far less than that, there's still a concern. And before the permanent jobs even come in, there was some wild numbers thrown out for the amount of construction workers that would need to be on site. And EMS and the volunteer services in the area are very concerned about that.
Tiger says the ambulance and fire department in Doolittle County are volunteer farmers and ranchers in the area. Some are concerned that an increase in workers will put strain on those already depleted services. Tiger said the town hall was created to hear from both those for and against the issue. That includes proponents like Representative Kent Rowe in the area, who's behind House Bill 1005 in the state legislature. The bill would provide a sales and use tax exemption on some data center goods and services. It specifically outlines computer hardware, cooling systems, surveillance systems, fiber optic cabling, and more. Those exemptions are valid for 50 years under the bill. Representative Rowe serves Dual County. Applied Digital, the company proposing a data center in the county, said it wouldn't come to the area without the incentives. The Gemini data center proposed in Sioux Falls also said it would need a state sales tax incentive to build. Tiger said the bill was discussed at the town hall.
There was a speaker who made mention of this tax exemption bill and made mention that their own representative was the one putting it through. So people are just starting to kind of learn about this, I think. It's definitely a concern. And I think there is a disconnect between at least this section of folks like Southern Dual County and their elected officials.
Meantime, the city council meeting in Sioux Falls ran 6 hours long, mostly from residents voicing concerns over data centers. Many pleaded for the council to postpone a vote until HB 1005 could be decided. That includes Penny Baybridge, a resident who spoke during public testimony.
There's no citizens that are exempted for 50 years. A business, even our veterans are 100% disabled, get a small tax break, but they don't get the whole thing. And businesses are a for-profit business. They should be paying taxes. They should be treated better than the people. We should be treated equally. They should be paying taxes. And I would ask you to consider not passing this, or at least setting it aside until after the legislature convenes. Because if this passes, what is happening is you're putting into place a business that will be exempted from the taxes. And I think that would be unfair to the people.
Others expressed similar feelings. Linda Montgomery from Fairview told the council she thinks they should have postponed until they learned about potential tax incentives that would be given.
This is big business, big money. We are citizens, and they're expecting to do 10 data centers in South Dakota. And so I think that's why I came here tonight, is to say, stop. If these big companies, these millionaire companies, won't come because we won't give them tax breaks, they need to go someplace else. We don't need, as taxpayers, to be paying their way for their multi-million dollar company.
However, some have looked at the property tax incentives to local communities as a potential positive to address growing property tax issues. Some, like Representative Kent Rowe, believe the economic impact to both South Dakota and its communities could yield a huge benefit. Liz Tiger with Dakota Rural Action says her group isn't necessarily opposed to data centers. She says DRA wants to ensure they're finding communities with the right fit.
We want to ensure that the community's voices are heard when these data centers come in. And I think that there will be locations across the state that would welcome something like this into their community. And I think there are areas where maybe it's not appropriate. I think that there's appropriate places and the people that live there deserve to have a say in it and deserve to be a part of the conversation.
Tiger says nobody wants to have contention when starting a new business, and Dakota Rural Action hopes to encourage those meaningful conversations across the state. I'm SDPB's. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.